I know everybody had a wonderful week because we was badass on the music and we were badass on the interpretation of what is going on in the world today. Look out, look out. We're coming down hard. We're coming down bad. Fantastic Friday. Oh! Thank you, Mother. Thank you, Pujo.
What's going on in the community and other interesting things in this one-hour show. On Wooden Spoons, we recognize that all things are related, and with learning and awareness, we connect the dots and make up our world. Every Friday morning on Wooden Spoons, we speak with guests on today's relevant issues, share nutritious recipes, and explore important topics with perspectives not found in mainstream media. Time right now is 8 a.m., and the temperature outside is minus 2 degrees Celsius. Good morning, Mary Jane.
Good morning, John. How are you this morning?
I'm good. You?
Oh, I'm, yeah, it's a bit... It's kind of a shock to see the snow on the ground. I have to wear my boots again, but it's really a beautiful morning.
Yeah, no kidding. I wasn't expecting that.
No. And it's all going to go away. Tomorrow is going to be a warmer day. And so that's the way the season goes, up and
right.
down.
Then we'll have, spring will be back for the next week.
Yes. And, so this morning I just want to go over what we're going to be doing. We'll be giving an acknowledgement statement at the beginning of the program. We're going to have a guest this morning who I will be introducing shortly, and for the first half of our program. And for the second half, we'll be talking about different issues. One of them is going to be about cancer and the prevalence of cancer and so on. And and also we're going to be exploring a little bit the issues with the Canadian Biotechnology Action Network in their stance in solidarity with Mexico concerning genetically modified crops. And and then we will end with a recipe. And so I would just like to acknowledge that on Wooden Spoons, we are located on Treaty 1 territory, the traditional land and waters of the Cree, Ojibwe, Dakota, and Dene people, as well as the birthplace of the Métis Nation and the heart of the Métis homeland. We also acknowledge the Shoal Lake No. 40 First Nation and its territory for our life-giving water. So on that note, I would like to introduce our guest, and her name is, I hope I can pronounce her last name. Her name is Christiane, also known as Nanny Geschwender. She was born in Eggenfelden, Germany, where she obtained her education and degree in physiotherapy in 2012 and furthered her education in cranial sacral therapy and lymph drainage therapy. She moved to Canada recently, where she continues her career and developed a business with canines, equines, and their owners, called Quinte Osteopathy. Christiane has a passion to support people and animals and educate them in healthy living. So today we'll be talking to Christiane about holistic medicine and her specialty in craniosacral therapy, which she offers to canines, equines, and people. Welcome to Wooden Spoons, Christiane.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, glad to hear that you're here.
Yes, I made it through.
Yeah, good for you. And we don't see you, so we just see this telephone signal or icon, and we it's always nice to know that the guest is there and that you got on successfully. So this morning, Christiane, do you want to, for starters, I think it would be helpful for you to comment on the ways in which European countries and North America differ in their approach to health and medicine.
Yeah, that's a great question. And since I grew up there and lived there for most of my life, I just moved to Canada about 7 years ago. I know how different it was being in Germany and still going back and forth. So in terms of doctors, it's pretty similar, but the holistic medicine is way easier to be approached. So, for example, going to the pharmacy, it's very easy to get holistic medicine, homeopathic medicine, or even to the drugstore, you can get good products for your skin, but for everything, basically. So when I visit Germany, I come back with a lot of great stuff that I cannot get here. And in terms of doctors and what they provide, it's pretty similar to here, although there is more available because there are more people. And it is pretty interesting because over there is still the same like here with the big pharma, because they have a big influence on how people perceive the health and what we need in our life, because as you probably know too, that we grew up that doctors know everything and are in the white coat, and basically what they are doing is just dealing with the symptoms. And early on I already knew about that because my mom also is very into holistic medicine, so we grew up, my sister and I, very aware of that there are different things we can take instead of the big pharma medicine, and that it actually helps. And so it was really great to grow up like that, and then coming here and seeing how different it is, that a lot of people don't even know about holistic medicine, or that there is not such a availability either here than it is in Germany for holistic treatments, such as osteopathy is pretty holistic. And yeah, that's a huge difference. But there is still the same mentality too in Germany about that the doctor still is like the one that knows it all.
In Germany, they think doctors, like, they respect doctors more than holistic practitioners. Is that what you're saying in Germany?
Yeah, I guess there is both, like here too. I mean, I have friends that are still going to the doctors and taking what they prescribe, and then there's others they're seeing, okay, I'm not getting very far with that. I would like to find out what is the cause of my symptoms. So I feel everyone gets to a point where they start seeing, okay, that is not very helpful in the end. It could be even more damaging too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true. And as you mentioned, Big Pharma has a huge influence on everything, and doctors are looked up to as being the icon of knowledge, whereas holistic medicine tends to be perceived as something that has to be carefully monitored and controlled lest they get out of hand. You know, my doctor is a naturopathic doctor, and I know other people. I've had an holistic practitioner that does, I think it's Ayurveda, and she lives, you know, in Fort Richmond and is a neighbor to somebody and shares her medicine. But they are not, you know, doctors have no knowledge of holistic medicine. They don't really want to find out too much about it either. And yeah, so that is the lack of openness and respect for different modalities, I think, is missing.
Yes, I find that too, that looking at the university studies, when they become a doctor, is very infiltrated, as I can see, from the big pharma. So they learn so much, but very little about healthy living. Like the nutrition course is so minimal, and some don't even attend to it. And so nutrition is a big part, and I know we're going to talk about it later, but if a doctor doesn't even know about the certain things that we need for healthy living, then it's really hard to see him as the one that can actually help us feeling better. And since we know that the big pharma is not very interested in us getting better because they cannot make money off of us if we are feeling better, then that's totally, you can see why the doctors are working as they are, because they are really, I find, controlled by the big pharma.
You know, as maybe as for starters in your own practice, it involves manual osteopole and craniosacral therapy. Could you describe those terms?
Yes. So manual osteopathy, we say here in Canada because of the training we get, because in the U.S. they have to be doctors to become osteopaths. So now we have to use the term manual osteopath because we are now doctors. So this is the course that I was taking, and craniosacral therapy is a part of osteopathy. So osteopathy has three areas you can work in. One is the parietal osteopathy, that is the physical body with the bones and the ligaments and all the parts of the parietal body. And then there is the visceral osteopathy with the inner organs. And then there is the craniosacral therapy, which I'm specialized in.
Okay, that's good. I didn't know that. So that's the three areas of osteopathy. and you were to the craniosacral therapy aspect of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Would you comment on the aspects of healthy living and how that impacts on our health, as well as the role that healthy diets play in our health? And how does a poor diet or unhealthy living factor into many health issues, for instance, back problems, headaches, and mental health issues, etc., eating disorders? Do you want to comment on that?
Sure. Yeah, this is my favorite topic. I'm very much of a nerd of healthy living. Not that I'm the perfect example, because everyone is a human, right? But what I found over my life, I found that diet has a big impact on how we are feeling, because the quality of the food, for once, because as we see, the farmers use a lot of glyphosate and all the different pesticides that are killing the nutrition of the of the nutritional value of the food, and also the monoculture. Just that's not how we should be farming, but that's in a different direction. And what I saw in, especially when I compare it to Germany, how I grew up, we had more possibilities of getting organic foods, but also there is more regulations in Europe what food they import. And here, coming here, the quality of the food is so different. A lot of times there is not really the taste that I would be expecting. And also, it's really hard, too, for people to farm here, because most of the time it's winter. That's what I feel like, especially when you look at the window right now. And I found it very important to have the good quality food, but also the awareness of what is healthy food, like vegetables and fruit. We hear that all the time, and then the quality of that one as well. So I see that also in schools, how different it is what they feed the kids, starting with that. I mean, that's the foundation when we start with the kids. How they eat, that will impact their whole life, because, well, you always kind of tend to go back when you're an adult to how you were raised. I see that, especially when we are stressed, we like to go back to these kind of habits. And what I want to say about the relation to unhealthy living how it factors into the health issues. So poor diets, but also poor not being aware of how important lower stress is for a healthy living. I know we are in a very fast-paced world, and we are, especially when we live in the city, it is way faster than when we live in the countryside, because then you have, like, I feel like you're more relaxed in the countryside than in the city, especially in a bigger city. Winnipeg is somewhat smaller, and I found that stress really is connected with back problems and headaches and mental health issues as well, and that you can see in the body coming out as sometimes also migraines, and especially shoulder neck issues are stress related. And a lot of times it's also related with poor sleep, because when we are stressed, we are also not getting the restful sleep we need, plus adding then a poor diet into it. That is a really, really important factor for healthy living. And eating disorders, we see that all the time in both directions, either malnourishment or overeating, especially here in Canada and the U.S. I found it even worse, but in Germany it's coming too, that kids are being more obese, and the quality, what the kids are eating, is not the greatest anymore. So that's where you can see a lot of how unhealthy lifestyle is seen in the people.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Quite a few. You're just traveling on a bus, you get to see a lot of people, and a lot of them are very obese, and it seems to be quite common, more common than before, I think. I don't know, but anyway, when we spoke over, I better give some station ID. We're at the quarter hour mark. Mark, did you want to do that?
You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM. Time is 8:17 a.m.
Okay, and this is Wooden Spoons, and our guest today is Christiane Geschwender, and with Mary Jane Eason and co-host John Dick. Christiane, when we spoke over the phone, you described the body as having complementary systems. There is the lymphatic system, the cranial sacral system, and the breathing system, which are not isolated at all, but complementary to each other. Do you want to explain that?
Yes, of course. So we have different systems in our bodies that are regulating our function, and lymphatic system is one, craniosacral system is what I will explain more, because that's what I work in, and the breathing system, but also the heartbeat is part of it too, and they all work together. And when it comes to the blood system, the lymphatic system is right next to it to collect all the waste products and then get it out of the body through the kidneys and the bladder, and it's really important that they work well together. Otherwise, if there is any imbalance in any of the systems, then you will find it in any part of your body, or even in the mind as well, that any misfunction or any imbalance. And that's what osteopaths work too. They work with any misfunction or imbalance in the body to find the cause of the problem.
Yeah, and the lymphatic system, maybe people don't really know about that, but this is sort of like another circulation. I'm just sort of describing what I know of it. And we have lymph nodes, and the lymphatic system collects waste products and removes them from the body via the kidneys and the bladder. So do you want to elaborate a little bit on that lymphatic system, because you work with that, don't you?
Yeah, I did the course in Germany after being a physio, because that's a great add-on. It's very important, I found, when it comes to injuries, or even when there's cancer patients that have lymph nodes removed and there's swelling, for example, in the legs or in the arms, then we can help with that lymphatic drainage therapy to transport that liquid out of the tissue. Because the problem is if the lymphatic system is overwhelmed and then there is a swelling, then it's really hard for the body to get rid of that swelling, especially when there is lymph nodes removed, which are a big part of that lymphatic drainage.
Mm-hmm. And you had explained that the cranial sacral system has a circulatory rhythm that moves the fluid surrounding the brain and the spinal cord, and that it is connected to our blood system. Do you want to explain that too?
Yeah. So craniosacral rhythm is about 10 times a minute. So it's about the production and absorption of the cerebrospinal fluid. That's already a tongue breaker. So the fluid where the brain swims in, that is the same fluid that goes also around our spinal cord. And that rhythm needs to be in balance, otherwise there will be issues all over the body. And also if there is any restrictions around the areas where the cerebrospinal fluid is, that can cause problems as well.
So
and
the brain
connection
is, The brain is surrounded by this fluid and the spinal
yes.
cord is surrounded by this fluid.
Yes.
And so it has to circulate.
Yes, exactly. It's the circulation about it, but also to keep the quality high. That's why it's produced and absorbed about 10 times a minute, because it needs to be a very good quality, because, as you know, our brain is very precious, even though we don't even use much of it, as the scientists say, like 5%. We use of the capacity we would have. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'm still trying to imagine this whole system, but where does it go, like when it's circulating around the brain and the spinal cord? Where does it go when it circulates? Like,
Where is it going when it's absorbed? That's what I believe. I would have to look it up because my course is a while ago.
Okay.
That's where the lymphatic system comes in, because it gets into the tissue, and that's where the lymphatic system collects it and then takes it out.
Well, that's good, because we know there's a connection there between those two things. So the body is quite an amazing system for sure. The brochure you have refers to the therapy you offer as Quint Osteopathy. Do you want to explain what that title means, what it is?
Yes. So Quinty is the area where I started out, and that is in Ontario, near Belleville or around Belleville. I don't know. Some people know about this town. It's just 2 hours west of Toronto, close to Kingston. And that's where my grandmother lived, in Belleville, and that's where I settled first. And then I started my business there, and since it's pretty good to have that area name in the name of your business, that's why I started it there. And then when I came here, I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna keep it. It was easier, and nobody knows mainly here what it means, but yeah, it's basically the area that I started out.
Okay. And so how can osteopathy be used to benefit the human body and also the bodies of dogs, horses, and pets?
So osteopathy, since it's a holistic treatment, and we talked about it earlier, that how important it is to, in complementary treatment to doctor's treatment, to look at the whole body, mind, and soul as well, because they are all interconnected. And that's why I found osteopathy a great treatment, and especially craniosacral therapy, because it works with the whole body, but also with the mind and soul, also with the pets and the animals as well. And what it also does is it's a deep relaxing treatment, which is super important, because we have such a such a stressful life, and it's really hard to get into the state of self-healing, which we all have inside of us, but it needs to be activated, and it can also only be activated when we are relaxed. You know that when you're like, when it comes to bowel movement, you have to be relaxed, otherwise it doesn't really work. And that is also part of it, why we need to be more relaxed in our life, because then our bodies function better.
Okay, so your treatment with the horses or the dogs, you treat different areas, I guess, through touching and massaging, and it helps to relax them. And then...
Yeah.
And also I
look for any imbalance in the body around the spine, but also around the head area, and see if there is any blockage, any vertebra out of alignment. And then I use very gentle techniques around the vertebra to bring it back kind of on its own, back into alignment.
And horses and dogs, they are open to that?
Yes. When they feel it helps them, then they can actually also fall asleep. It's pretty interesting.
Oh.
The first treatment is usually pretty different, because then they have to get to know me first. But yeah, I've had some dogs and horses that were falling asleep. That was really funny.
Well, it's interesting. So you have to get to know them, of course, and that's a good point you made. And then they have to trust you, you know. So, and they have to know you're not going to hurt them.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, well, that's interesting. And so what kind of ailments can craniosacral therapy successfully treat? And would you describe the various methods of treatment and how they are adapted to each individual, to each animal or person?
Sure. So craniosacral therapy can be used for any issues. That's why everybody that comes to me and asks me if I can help with a certain issue, for example, digestive issue or headache, migraines, back problems, injuries, because what it does, it actually brings you into the state of self-healing. So no matter what the issue is, the body can heal itself once it is in that state. So no matter what problem it is, in the end, it's just important to get into that state of healing and being able to be relaxed and absorbing all the self-healing mechanism that we all have inside of us. As we know, when we break our arm, for example, it takes about 6 weeks and the bone heals itself. So the body is so interesting about that. It wants to be healthy. Every cell in our body wants to be healthy, so that's in us. So that's what I use in my treatment. I activate that healing mechanism.
And of course, you know, our bodies want to be healthy, but often we do the wrong things to our bodies and just work against our bodies, against the natural system.
That's our mind then. When our mind comes in and has the belief system we have from either, I believe also in past life, but also from the childhood, then that is in the way of the healing, because then our mind is blocking us from that too. And also when we are stressed, and that's mostly in our heads too. So then that is why the treatment is also interesting, because it also treats the mind itself. Because once you're in that healing state, it also heals your mind, because it shuts it off when you fall asleep in the treatment, for example. It's great, because then your mind shuts off and then your body can finally do the work that it's supposed to.
So could you just sort of itemize the kinds of things that your treatment can help with, maybe physical ailments, mental ailments? Do you want to itemize how your craniosacral therapy is helpful in these situations?
Sure. So as I mentioned, digestive issues or any issues in your organs area, bladder issues and intestinal issues, but also any pain in the body, because it's a full body treatment, so back pain, shoulder, neck pain, shoulder issues, also a lot of arm and hand issue can be caused by neck issues, and then also head stuff, headaches, migraines, but also infertility is a big part. I can work with that too. And anything, also eye problems, even allergies is a good part too. That it was said that it could help with that too. So anything you can think of, even for any injuries you have, like it's also after post surgery is very important to do that, because then the self-healing mechanism is activated, and then to have a better recovery too.
So could you tell us how people can get in touch with you if they want to work with them, and also there is some coverage for these kinds of treatments? So
yes, osteopathy, some of the people have coverage for osteopathy, and that is covered also. My services are covered by Blue Cross and Sun Life, Canada Life, all the big ones. And then they can also ask their insurance if my services are covered. That's always a possibility. And sorry, what was the first part of your question again?
Well, I was just wondering how people can get in touch with you
They
want a treatment.
Yes. Yeah, the best way is through my phone number or through email. And should I say the phone number now on air?
I have your brochure with your phone number here.
Yeah, so the best way is to contact me directly. I also have a website, and there is my phone number on it too, and my email address. And I have a Facebook page and Instagram, which I'm not very active because digital stuff is not really my thing. But yeah, that's the best way. And then I only do appointments directly. I don't have a system on my website because I'm still a small business. But my plan is to open up a big health center with like-minded practitioners, and I'm looking for investors for that. Because, yeah, it's really important to have people with the same philosophy working under one roof and working together as a team. So that's what.
And where are you living right now?
Right now I'm near Corydon on Warsaw Avenue, just off of Lilac, so pretty central.
You're in the Fort Rouge area?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's good to know. If you combine your services with other groups, that would be such an excellent move to make.
Yes. Yeah, I'm excited for that.
You'd have to get, that would be really good. I have your phone number, Christiane. Can I give it out?
Yes, of course.
And you have to dial one in front of it, I think. 1-343-261-8595. That's your phone number for anyone that wants to contact you. And your website is www.quinteosteo.com.
Yes, correct.
And your email is nanny@quinteosteo.com, nanny@quinteosteo.com.
So, correct.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Christiane. It was very great talking to you and learning about these forms of therapy and the availability of them. So if anybody is interested, they can call you and contact you.
And yes, thank you so much for having me.
You're very, very welcome. Well, we're... I guess we have a song that we're going to be playing.
Yes, I'll just pull that up right now. I believe that the song is called Man Gives Names to All the Animals by Jason Mraz.
Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, a long time ago, he saw an animal that liked to growl, big furry paws, and he liked to howl, great big furry back and furry hair. I think I'll call it a bear. Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, a long time ago, he saw an animal up on the hill, chewing up so much grass until she was filled. He saw milk coming out, but he didn't know how. He said, I think I'll call it a cow. Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals. Beginning, a long time ago, he saw an animal that liked to snort, horns on his head and they weren't too short, and it looked like there was nothing that he couldn't pull. He said, I think I'll call it a bull. Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, a long time ago, he saw an animal leaving a muddy trail, a real dirty face and a curly tail. He wasn't too small, he wasn't too big. He said, I think I'll call it a pig. Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, a long time ago. Next animal that he did meet, and wool on his back and hooves on his feet, eating grass on a mountainside so steep. He said, I'm gonna call that one a sheep. Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, man gave raining a long time ago. Sun animal as smooth as glass, slithering his way through the grass. He saw him disappear by a tree near a lake.
You're listening to Wooden Spoons on CKUW 95.9 FM. This is John Dick and Mary Jane Eason. And the weather outside is still minus 2 degrees Celsius. Feels like minus 9.
Okay, that was kind of a fun song. All the animals. So, getting on to continuing our different topics today. I'm just trying to find my... I have some information from the Canadian Biotechnology Action Network. On Monday, in solidarity with Mexico, 31 Canadian organizations stated their objection to Canada's role in a trade challenge initiated by the United States to end Mexico's restrictions on the use of genetically modified or GM corn for certain foods. Today, CBAN also released a critique of the Government of Canada's submission of arguments to the Trade Dispute Panel, released on Friday at the end of the day. And you can go to the CBAN website and get their critique. The National Farmers Union says the statement of solidarity with Mexico is one way for people in Canada that they can show how we can work together to build a food system where family and cooperative farmers and food workers live in dignity, feeding everyone high-quality, healthy, safe food using practices that protect our soil, water, biodiversity, and other natural resources. We support the statement of solidarity signed by 31 groups says, we support the seed sovereignty of indigenous and peasant farmers in Mexico in their pursuit of food sovereignty. We support the right of the people in Mexico to reject genetically modified corn and the right of the government of Mexico to restrict the use of genetically modified corn in traditional foods. We stand in solidarity with Mexican farmers and food workers who continue to preserve and maintain corn diversity and their biological heritage, and who stand up to resist corporate control of food. We oppose Canada's role in the trade dispute that challenges Mexico's restrictions on the use of GM corn. We oppose the use of trade agreements to undermine democratic rights and prioritize corporate profit-making ahead of the needs of our communities. We pledge to continue our work together to build a food system where family and cooperative farmers and food workers live in dignity, feeding everyone high-quality, healthy, safe food using practices that protect our soil, water, biodiversity, and other natural resources. We promote social and economic justice for food producers and all people living in Canada and around the world. So, Mexico now has delaying the glyphosate phase-out, and this is believed to be due to the fact that there's heavy lobbying from pesticide companies and pressure from the United States trade officials to do this. So this is the bit of a downside of it. But Mexico has been defending its ancient grain, and it has not allowed genetically modified corn into their country to be used in food. And the use of glyphosate is toxic to the soil. It destroys the microorganisms in the soil. And so it is something that we in Canada, well, our Canadian government has always supported. Monsanto, now Bayer, has always supported the use of glyphosate and pesticides because Health Canada is not about health. Health Canada is about corporate health. So we have to keep that in mind when we are thinking about Health Canada. And this is not a negative statement. It is a true statement. And I'm not the first one that said it. I have heard it. I have read about it. And it is something that we should be aware of. So just want to share that. I've been Canadian Biotechnology Action Network is supporting the health of our soils and the natural methods of farming and so on. I wanted to share also some information about cancer. Because cancer is an epidemic, it is totally, it is so prevalent, and when it used to be so rare. And this is, and I have come from the time when cancer was hardly known at all. And so what has happened here? I have a book called I've gotten this information from a book called Cancer, 101 Solutions to a Preventable Epidemic. And it's written by Liz Armstrong, or edited by Liz Armstrong, Guy Donsey, and Anne Nordsworth. The book explains that the word paradigm is a useful word that describes a predominant theory, a lot like gospels. And they're rarely questions. They're the gospel truths. That is what a paradigm is. So they just listed a few paradigms, and I'm just going to read them off. The old paradigm is the 20th century increase in cancer is mostly caused by our lifestyles and only a very little by environmental and workplace carcinogens. The new paradigm, which is a more up-to-date, the new paradigm says the 20th century increase in cancer is caused by many interacting factors, including toxic chemicals, radiation, and health-deficient food. Another old paradigm is poor diet is a major cause of cancer. Pesticide residues pose negligible risks. So that's the old paradigm. Organic food is left out of this equation. The new paradigm states poor diets, including processed foods, is a major risk for cancer. Pesticide residue contributes to more cancers. Organic food needs to be included in all our studies. When you're studying cancer, we should be studying foods. We should include studying organic foods. And number four, an old paradigm states, historically, chemicals have been assumed safe until proven harmful. In the U.S., 60,000 pre-1976 chemicals have been allowed to remain in use without health and safety testing. The new paradigm states all chemicals should be assumed harmful until proven safe. All suspect chemicals and hazardous substances must be tested. So the old paradigm, they did not include a lot of testing on many chemicals. Whatever they did test upon, they might have made a statement whether they were harmful or not. But the new paradigm is saying we should be looking at all chemicals. Now, Rachel Carson, she was a marine biologist, and she was the author of many best-selling books. And one of her final book that she wrote in her life was called The Silent Spring. It was published in 1962. This was a book that I read. I don't know where it is right now, but I'd like to look at it again. And she sounded the alarm and the alert about the dangers of pesticides to our health. Rachel Carson, The Silent Spring, she testified, she researched, everything she did was very carefully researched, and she showed the effects of pesticides on animals, on birds, and the declining populations of different species and so on. And of course, all the effects of pesticides on reproductive systems and so on. It was scrupulously a researched book that she wrote, exposing the health hazards of modern pesticides and nuclear radiation as well. And because of her writings, on this, she became the target of a fierce industry campaign to destroy her reputation and credibility. Another book that deals with these issues is Our Stolen Future. It's also an excellent book, and it was written, put together by the World Wildlife Fund and Danish researchers. So together, the book was based on writings by Danish scientists and in collaboration with the World Wildlife Fund. And this book also addresses chemicals and hormone disruptors as the cause for many abnormalities, including the scrambling of sexuality in wild animals. So this is the whole point of this, of mentioning this, is that we have to return to a natural form of agriculture. We have to get support for organic farmers. We need to support them. I know that the food is more expensive, and that is always a big issue. But we have farmers markets, and that brings us a lot of produce in the summer, which is wonderful. So, and gardening. If you can do your own gardening, that's also a way of, you know, of avoiding of, you know, pesticides and chemicals in your food. Do you have any thoughts on these things, John? Has it occurred to you?
Yeah, honestly, not really.
Anyway, I want to make an announcement here that we're having our soup Saturday. This coming Saturday, we were late in getting the announcement out, but we will be selling soups for sale on Saturday, tomorrow, from 1 to 4. And the soups that are going to be featured will be called the Verde. It's a Portuguese soup. And tomato, and another soup is a tomato, carrot, and rice soup. And so we've been changing the soups around each time. So on Saturday from 1 to 4, you can call in to make an order at Mary Jane's Cookie School, 204-775-2522. Or you can drop in while supplies last. So that's tomorrow, or Saturdays. We call them second Saturdays, but it isn't the second Saturday. Today is the third. Tomorrow will be the third Saturday. But it's just the way things went in terms of our commitment. So, I have a recipe, and I think we have time for this recipe. And it's called Vegetable Rice Pilaf. And it's from the book Tanya Bernard and Sarah Kramer. They wrote, their book is all about vegan, vegetarian cooking. And so this is an interesting recipe. I think it would be quite delicious. I'm going to try it. It calls for 2 cups of brown rice and 4 cups of water and 1/2 teaspoon of turmeric and 2 to 4 cloves of garlic chopped and 1 small onion diced and 1 medium carrot diced. You need 1/2 medium red pepper diced and 1/2 medium green pepper diced. If possible, you should buy the peppers, the organic peppers, because they're one of the strawberries and peppers tend to contain a higher residue of pesticides if they're, you know, grown in the usual non-organic gardening way. So 1/2 of red pepper and 1/2 of medium green pepper, 1 teaspoon of salt and 1 tablespoon of olive oil, and 1 cup of peas and 1/4 cup of fresh parsley. And so then you, in a medium pot with a tight-fitting lid, you bring the rice and water and turmeric to a boil. Then you lower the heat and simmer for about 40 minutes or until the rice is done. And when you cook the rice, when it's done, you can turn off the heat, leave the cover on for another 10 minutes, and then you can fluff it with a fork afterwards. So while the rice is cooking in a medium saucepan, sauté the garlic, the onions, the carrots, the peppers, and salt in the oil, and salt in the oil on medium high heat for 5 to 7 minutes. Add the peas and parsley and simmer for 5 minutes more. Then set aside. You set it aside in a large bowl, leave it there for a while, and when the rice is cooked, you add it. When the rice is cooked, then you add the vegetables and you stir it together. So it's very simple. So you have the vegetables cooked separately and the rice, and then you just mix them together. And that makes 4 to 6 servings. And, of course, you can always adjust seasonings to taste. So this brings us to the end of our April 20th,
isn't it? It's the 19th today.
Okay. 19th on Wooden Spoons. Thank you for listening, and thank you, John, for being the co-host.
Sure. You have been listening to Wooden Spoons on CKUW 95.9 FM. If you didn't catch some of the things we were talking about today, please visit our website at ckuw.ca, type Wooden Spoons into the search bar, and the podcast or show will be up in just a few hours. Till next time, this is John Dick and Mary Jane Eason saying bye for now, and thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Thank you.
friends on the radio, CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.